Please take your seats. So we already read the text from Luke 2, 1 through 20, and with our children. And so we'll jump right in for a moment to that text. Recently at our UMW, United Methodist Women Tea, a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday afternoon, I got to share some stories and pictures from my trip to Jerusalem in the Holy Land a few years ago. One of the disappointments for me, as grand as that trip was, is that we didn't get to go to Bethlehem. I've talked to friends and colleagues since that time who have gone to Bethlehem, but at that time, there was enough struggle going on in Bethlehem that it just was not a safe place, and so we didn't get to go. Bethlehem is at the center of our story tonight. And I think that we have some hints in our modern news media of the same kinds of struggles going on even now. And we have hints in the Scriptures, especially Matthew's version of the Christmas story, that the same kind of struggles were going on 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born. I'd still like to go there sometime, but I just don't know if they're ever going to get it worked out. I don't know if we're ever going to get it worked out. Because, see, human beings are made with some flaws. God made us with the understanding that we had some choices to make and some ability to go, some freedom to govern ourselves. And sometimes we do that well and sometimes we do it poorly. And it seems like when human beings get together, in large groups especially, it seems like that the problems multiply. And then when we throw a little bit of religious faith into the mix, where people disagree and become passionate about what they do believe and condemn people who believe differently, the mix just gets hotter and it can get to be explosive. You may know this, but the city of Jerusalem is divided into four sectors. It's divided into a sector for each of the religious groups that have some claim to their history there. It's Christian, Jewish, Muslim, and Armenian. There, you look at a map of Jerusalem and you can see that cross pattern that divides the city into four quadrants. I think it's interesting that it's made in the form of a cross. That kind of tends to lead a little credence to the Christian side maybe. But I don't know about that. But this kind of conflict is not new. You know, we have the story in two different places of Jesus' birth. Really three. If you stretch your mind, you can call John's version a Christmas story. But what we have in Matthew and Luke are, Matthew, we have the kings, the so-called wise men, and in Luke, we have the shepherds. They're written for different audiences. Matthew wanted to be sure that the people of means were reached. And so Matthew spoke of the kings. And Luke wanted to be sure that the humble people, the ones who are of lowly estate and who are maybe of less resources, the shepherds. And in the economy of Israel in that time, and probably now, about the lowest job you could get was tending sheep. So these were not only separated economically, but they were separated physically as well, because, as you know from the story in Matthew, the wise men, the kings, were from far, far away. It took them days to get there. And they were, it says, from the east, from somewhere there. And they traveled and followed a star. They were educated people, too. They followed the stars, and they knew the patterns, and they knew the star wasn't in the right place. This star was something unusual, and so they followed it. But Luke's entirely different. Luke said, I don't care about the people far away. What about the shepherds that are right outside Bethlehem? sitting on a hillside watching their sheep graze. And for them, it wasn't just a single star appearing in some mystery. It was opened up heaven with angels singing and glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all people. The shepherds, too, must have been alarmed by such a happening. And it must have been kind of frightful. You talk about being scared of the dark. When you're out there the next night, when last night you experienced the heavens bursting open with the singing of angels, I'd be watching for something. Something just around the next corner, or something in the next moment. But Luke wanted to be sure that the shepherds took the stage. And they, like the wise men, like the kings, took their gifts. For them, it may have been a simple gift, a stone or a lamb. But they were right there at home. They were just outside the city gates, probably, and they saw this angel chorus, and they headed into town, into Bethlehem, to see this thing that the angels had spoken of and sung of. I'm sorry I didn't get to see Bethlehem, but I can imagine it. And maybe sometimes when you haven't seen something, your imagination of it is even better because you don't have any accountability. You can imagine whatever you like. You don't have to stick to the fact. But the truth is that Bethlehem then and now is a place of conflict and striving. Sometimes it's hard to call it the Holy Land. There's so much history there and there's so much conflict. It's the cradle. That area is the cradle of the world's great faiths. And each of them are ready to claim their promises and fight for them. Makes it easy to say, what's the world coming to? Because we have the same thing going on today in many parts of the world. The Middle East seems to be a hotbed of strife and conflict. Seems like it's easy to say, what's the world coming to? But that area has always been a place of struggle. As the ancient people migrated, they carried the Ark of the Covenant with them, and they set it up in a tent. And they traveled all around through that place. I'm glad we had both stories, though, the kings and the shepherds, because, you know, that makes us all included. Sometimes it seems like we are shepherds. Sometimes it seems like we live like kings. But we are all included and welcomed into this family of faith. I'm glad we have both stories. And I'm glad we have John's story, too. Because John's story helps us to see our mission in this. If you look in the first chapter of John, you see huge concepts. John was a painter of concepts. I am the good shepherd. I am. Jesus claimed all of those I am sayings. But here in the first chapter, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. And without Him, not one thing was made. What has come into being in Him was life, and that life is the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. We're gathered tonight for a candlelight service, a communion service in which we will come to the altar to receive the gift of Christ, and we will leave it changed. We will leave it with a new birth inside of us. And we will each and every one of us become bearers of the light of Christ. I'm going to recommend we blow our candles out before we leave here, because I don't really want to see all of you trying to walk around the room carrying a child and a candle and trying to put your coat on. We're going to put our candles out, but we are going to carry the light of Christ. with us. We are going to bear that light and reflect that light and give that light in the places where we go, probably tonight as you go to be with your family, and tomorrow morning as you're experiencing the traditions that you have on Christmas Day. We come empty and we leave filled. We come dark and we leave with the light of Christ in and around us. And it's our job to carry that light and share it with the world. And I mean the world close to you. You know, we can't change Bethlehem. We can't change the whole world, but we can change our little part of it. And like a candle in a dark room, the darker the room is, the brighter that light is going to show. So, that's our mission. As we come to the altar and to the Lord's table tonight, I challenge you to receive the gift of Christ and let that light grow and well up inside you. And as we share the light of Christ in the candle lighting service in a moment, you'll see how bright the room can be, how bright the faces can be with just a simple flame on a candle. Let us pray. God, we pray for peace in our world, as broken as it is. We pray for peace in our homes, as busy as they are. And we pray for peace in our hearts, as we turn to your wisdom as guide and friend. May the light of Christ burn brightly in each of us. In Jesus' name.